This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
God is good. Okay, I've got a lot to... God's put a lot on my heart this morning, and actually, Lord, help me remember everything. During the prayer time, I don't know who prayed it, someone prayed about locks. Again, and this is a continual thing that comes up in my life. I had a prophecy, a prophetic word over my life a couple of years ago, where in one prophetic session, three different people came up to me and spoke word for word. So that gets your attention when God says something about that. And it was about unlocking locks. And when I was praying in my quiet time this morning, my prayer for this morning was that locks would be opened. And then someone prayed it in pre-service prayer this morning. So I believe that there are people here this morning, and don't think it's for the person sitting next to you. Forget the person sitting next to you. There are ones here this morning who have got parts of your life locked up, and they're going to be unlocked today in Jesus' name. But it will be, you need to receive that, okay? So, yeah, there are locks that are going to be open today. All right, let's get into the Word. A lot of scripture this morning. I want to look at... I actually want to look at five scriptures to start with. We're going to read them out and then we're going to talk about them. So you can follow me if you like. You can write the scriptures down, whatever works good for you. The first one is Ephesians 1 verse 3, and it says, "All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." Colossians 2:9-10. "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." 2 Peter 1:3. "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence." Are you getting a bit of a theme already? Okay, now we're going to look at Mark 4. And this is the parable of the sower. So I want you to go there because we'll read it together. I'm going to read verses 1 to 9 of Mark 4. We're going to start at verse 1, June. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Okay. "Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him. So he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as has been planted. Then he said, 'Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand.'" We need to have ears to hear this morning. My family have a favourite saying, "Are your ears painted on?" Don't let your ears be painted on today. Let your spiritual ears be open. So Ephesians 1 tells us that we have been blessed. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Colossians 2 tells us that we are complete. Not we are going to be complete, we are being completed. We are complete through our union with Christ. That was Colossians, did I say that? 2 Peter tells us that God has given us everything. And in the Hebrew, everything means everything. Hebrew or Greek or whatever it is we're looking at. It means everything. So not excluding anything. We have been given everything we need for living a godly life. Just want us to look at one more scripture before I go on, and that's in John 19, verse 30. And it's this one that says, when Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and he released his spirit. It is finished. The word finished means end, complete, execute, conclude, discharge a debt. It actually means that, to discharge a debt, to accomplish, to make an end. Jesus said, it is finished. What was finished? What was finished? Jesus' purpose for coming down from the glory of heaven to be born and live as a man and then offer his body and his blood as a sacrifice was complete. It was finished. Jesus tells us in Luke 19:10 that the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. What had been lost, and we've been hearing about it, was kingdom. Man had forfeited his right to the kingdom of God when he fell in the garden. Okay? Jesus came to restore man to the Father and to reinstate kingdom of God rule on the earth. That's why we say, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus said it is finished, he was making a declaration that what he had come to do was complete. So it is finished. Our debt had been paid. We had forfeited our right to relationship with God. We had handed over the deed to our kingdom. And Jesus said, I have finished that. I have paid that in the full. The debt has been paid. It is finished and kingdom is restored. In Colossians 2:14 and 15, we see what the statement it is finished actually means for us. It says that he cancelled the record of the charges against us. We had charges against us. You had a rap sheet and it was long. Some longer than others, but we all had one. But he cancelled the record of the charges against us and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So every authority that was legally in place before the cross, which was everything that we'd given up, was null and void, cancelled. All those authorities, all those powers that we speak about and pray about are of they're nothing. They have no power, they have no authority because Jesus said it is finished. So what does that actually mean for us? It means that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. It means that we are complete through our union with Christ. It means that God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. That's what it is finished means. Not it is going to happen, not sometime you will receive one thing at a time, like a little trail set out before you. It is finished. It means that Jesus, you need to hear this, Jesus has already done everything that we ever need him to do for us. And he has already given us everything we already need to receive from him. If you get anything else today, you need to know that Jesus has already done everything that we need him to do for us. And he's already given us everything we need to receive from him. Do we really believe it? We say it. We know it here. Do we believe it? And is the evidence of that in our lives? We read in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We read in Galatians 5 that a kingdom life looks like love, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're told in Matthew 6 that we don't ever have to worry about what we will wear or what we will eat or what we will drink. All of our daily needs are taken care of. If we already have everything that we need to live a godly life, why are we still not seeing the evidence of that in our lives? Why are we still praying prayers like, God, provide this for me, provide that for me? Why are we doing that if we've already got it? I think part of that is because the enemy's throwing red herrings at us. If he can get us off track, worrying about things that we have no business worrying about, spending our energy and our time and all of our focus on those things, then we're not really thinking about what we should be thinking about. We have not fully and still don't fully understand how the kingdom of God works. All of the time that Jesus was on the earth, all of the time that he spent teaching the disciples, that whole time he was talking about one thing. This is how the kingdom of God works. Every parable, he was saying, how can I explain the kingdom to you? How can I tell you what the kingdom is like? The kingdom of God is like this. It's like a seed. It's like a light. It's like salt. It's like a pearl. It's like he's the whole time he was here, the only teaching that came was how the kingdom works. For us to see the reality of these scriptures that we've been looking at this morning, that we have been blessed, that we are complete, we have to look at how kingdom works. So if Jesus spent a lot of time looking at kingdom, I think we should spend some time looking at and retraining our minds about how the kingdom of God works. Because things are coming out of our mouth, prayers are coming out of our hearts that are not in line with kingdom. We are praying things that we shouldn't be praying because we're not lining up with the kingdom. In Mark 4, Jesus actually says in verse 13, after this parable, he says, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, then how will you understand all the other parables? So this is a key parable. If we don't understand how this what this parable means, we will not understand the rest. So let's have a look at it. The word of God is a seed. Let's read. Let's read that Mark 4 one again. I want to read it again. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat and he sat down while all the other people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling them many stories in the form of parables such as this. He starts off, the first word he says is listen. Listen. And in my Bible, it's got an exclamation mark. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across the seed, some of the seed fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have any deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil and they sprouted, grew and produced a crop that was 30, 60 and even 100 times as much as has been planted. Okay, so then Jesus actually goes on to explain it. He says, the farmer plants seeds by taking God's word to others. So he's saying here that the word of God is the seed. If you want to see a full harvest, you want a harvest of everything that God has said is yours, it all starts with seed. Jesus is saying you have to get this. The kingdom of God works this way. It works with seed. It all comes out of seed and it's like a natural seed. We know that there is no life on this earth without seed. Everything comes out of seed. You came from a seed. Plants, everything we eat, every animal, every plant, everything that grows comes from a seed. And Jesus is saying this is what the kingdom of God is like. And if you want to see a harvest of everything that you already have, you know that everything is contained in that seed, but you don't see it when it's in seed form. You don't see an apple tree or a flower or a person in a, when you see a seed, but it's all in there. To start with, so the word of God says we have everything we need to live a godly life. In that seed is already everything you need. You might not be seeing it in your life as full grown yet, but it's there as a seed. And he's saying, this is how the kingdom of God works. And then we pray prayers like, God, give me peace, give me joy, give me faithfulness, give me self-control. I need self-control. Don't pray that prayer. God is saying, stop asking me for things I've already given you. How do you feel when your children or someone you know comes up and asks you for something you've already given them? You're like, I've already given that to you. Why are you asking me for it? What we need to be praying is, God, help me grow this seed. Help me grow this seed. If there is some seed of self-control in here somewhere, it doesn't look like it. I don't see the big self-control tree at the moment, but everything is in me that I need. And if you want to harvest, you better plant some seed. All right? And do you know, you cannot cram for a spiritual harvest. We love instant, don't we? We love instant. I was listening to a preacher this week and he was saying, it was really funny, I was listening to some teaching and he was saying that his car window broke. And this obviously, I'm going like this, it was probably a push button one, I don't know when that was, but his car window broke and it wouldn't go up and down. He went in to get it fixed and he said to the guys, I need this car window fixed. And he was a preacher that sort of travelled around a lot, you know, did a lot of visiting and stuff. And the people said, it's going to be 2 weeks till we can get that part. And he's like, 2 weeks? I cannot wait 2 weeks for that. And they're like, you can wait 2 weeks. And he's like, you don't understand, everything I eat comes through that window. Because he would be going through drive-through. Every town he went to, it'd be his... He's like, I need that window fixed now. And that's what we're like. You don't understand. I need it fixed now. And this is what we say to God. You don't understand, God. I need it now. I need peace now. I need joy now. I deserve it now. I need it now. I need self-control now. And Jesus is saying, no, no, no. You don't understand. You don't understand the kingdom. It comes seed, time, and harvest. If you want a harvest in your life of those things, you need to plant the seed. And by the way, the Holy Spirit waters a seed. You know, the Holy Spirit is water. In the Bible, every time you hear about the Holy Spirit is water. When we see pictures, you know, he's among other things, but water is one of them. The Holy Spirit waters. And you can't cram for a spiritual harvest. When I was in school, and I bet you're my bottom dollar that all of you have done this, where you've had a test and you crammed. And you crammed your little heart out, whether it was a week before or a day before, but you crammed and you crammed and you passed the test. But if I was to ask you today what was in that, you didn't learn anything. You had it in your short-term memory, but there was no long-term harvest for that. We try and do that with God. I need something from you, God, whatever that is. And so we get our Bibles out. Oh, let me find that. I better cram for that. Let me find. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with getting scriptures, because we should do that, but not in a cramming situation. Because you won't get that. You won't learn anything. You might pass that test, but then there'll be another one. And you cannot cram for a spiritual harvest the way we do in a worldly system. Did you notice that God did not, or Jesus here did not compare the word to any worldly system. He compared, or to any social system, or to any method. He compared it to seed. And we've been told in the scripture that we've been given incorruptible seed. You know, world systems can be corrupted. We can cheat an exam. We can cram for a test. You can't cheat God's system. We have to do it God's way. We have to do it kingdom way. You've been given an incorruptible seed. It tells you that if you need to look that up in 1 Peter 1:23 says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. All right. So I want you to know it's time to finish. That's what I want you to know. But I'm going to just tell you a quick, really quick few things, okay? I want you to notice that there was different types of soil. There's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed was the same. The harvest was different. So if you're seeing a harvest in some other crop or some other person and going, well, look at them, they're so peaceful, they're so joyful, they're so whatever, they got the same seed as you. Jesus gives you the same seed he gives me. We all got the same seed. What is different is the soil of our heart. Sorry, I'm just trying to think about where I want to go. Okay, so I want you to think about the soil. You go home and you study those different types of soil, because you'll see yourself in there. Really look at it and look at what those different soils mean. How's the soil of your heart? The seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as been planted. They hear and they accept. They hear it and they believe it. They hear it and they do it. They hear it and they plant it. They hear it and they let the Holy Spirit water it. And you don't plant a seed and dig it up the next day to see if it's grown. We do that spiritually all the time. Hasn't harvested, where is it? Must have done something wrong. Dig it up, have a look at it. Nah, still put it back in. Next, still no harvest, dig it up. You're never going to get a harvest like that. Get the word in there. Let the Holy Spirit water it. Give it time to harvest in your life. I'll say a few quick things. Your soil can't differentiate what seed you're planting. It will grow whatever seed is planted in there. Your heart can't tell the difference between God's seed, so you need to be careful about what you're letting into your life. We need to be mindful about what seeds we are allowing to be planted in our lives. Our heart will grow whatever we plant, not just God's seeds. Galatians 6, 7 and 8, write that down because you can look at it at home. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. It says that those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. You will have a harvest. You need to be careful about what seed, what are you watching, what are you listening to, what are you talking about? You know, if you are seeing a harvest of... if you're seeing a harvest in your life of strife and of anger, and well, what have you been sowing? What have you been sowing in there? What have you been thinking about? What's been planted? We need to take the seeds of God, plant them in our lives, and produce a harvest of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness. Don't pull it up every day and see what's going on. It says that in Mark 4, later on, it says, while the farmer is asleep or awake, whether he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. He doesn't understand how that happens. It just says the earth produces the crop on its own. Let the word do what the word does in your life. We have to recognize there are stages to our growth. If you read the next part of that parable, it's actually in my title says Parable of the Growing Seed. And it says there are stages. It says, let's just read that quickly, verse 26. It says, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. You need to be patient. The tree doesn't be a seed and then a tree. Seed one day, tree the next day. Doesn't happen like that. It happens first, a little blade pops out, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and then there's a harvest. But we don't want that. We want the drive-through. You don't understand. You've got to fix this window. Everything I eat comes through here. We want that. We want seed, tree, harvest. We want to read one scripture and then have a harvest of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Doesn't work that way, Jesus says. You have to understand how the kingdom works. Okay, this is a kingdom principle that we have to get hold of. We want it... We do have everything we need to live a godly life. We have been blessed. The word says that. I didn't say it. The word of God is true. The word of God is true. And if we're not seeing evidence of us having everything we need to live a godly life, then we need to go back and look at kingdom principle of seed time and harvest. Because he says we have been given everything. I've already given you everything you need. He said it is finished. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's already done all that he's going to do. There is nothing more. It is now us understanding kingdom, understanding how that works, getting the word of God, planting it in our lives, letting the Holy Spirit water it, and being patient for the harvest. Let's pray. Father, you are so good to us. I thank you that you explain things to us, Holy Spirit, so clearly, but we have not always had ears to hear you. And so today I thank you that our ears are open. Holy Spirit, take what's been spoken in this house this morning, everything, every prayer, every prophetic word, every word of God that's been spoken in this house this morning, plant it in the soil of our lives, and Holy Spirit, water us. We do not want to be digging that seed up every day to see what's going on and what's wrong. Give us, help our unbelief, Holy Spirit. Your word says that we have everything we need. You said, Jesus, it is finished. We have everything we need. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Holy Spirit, teach us how to walk in that in reality in our life. Where we've prayed, incorrectly, where we've been mistaught on how to pray, or we've just said things not even thinking about how we're doing it. Let us be mindful, Holy Spirit, about the things that we ask for and the words that come out of our mouth. Teach us, Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.